We started a series called The Gift That Nobody Wants. And the idea was this gift, and it's not what you think. Some of you might thought, well, it's singleness or some of those things that we also think is a gift, but we weren't going to talk about that tonight. But what we talked about a couple weeks ago was this gift in the scripture that's called admonishment. And to admonish, we're going to continue that conversation tonight. But before we do that, let's watch this video to start our conversation. You guys ever been there with some of that clamshell packaging? That's what it's called. It was this brilliant invention to package things. And I, this week, bought two shower nozzles for our house, and it was in that kind of packaging, and I had that kind of experience. Maybe not. I found a stick of dynamite that finally opened that deal. But hey, we wanted to show you that video because we wanted to talk tonight about just packaging, and the way we package admonishment is an important thing. The way we deliver, the wrapping we put on this gift is really important. You guys remember CDs when we had those? Y'all remember those? See, not too long ago, right? I'm not going to go cassette or 8-track. We'd really show our age here. But CDs, do you remember trying to open CDs? You'd have that really tight plastic on there, and you'd try to get the CD up, and you're like, I can't get it open. And then you'd try to slit down the little part there, and then you'd end up breaking the case or doing something like that. So things can be tough to open. And when things are tough to open, it's hard for us to receive them. We don't package things well. It's tough for us to receive those things. And so tonight, we want to talk about this idea of how we package admonishment. And so let me remind you what we called the definition we gave you of to admonish someone. It's to advise or to urge earnestly, to recommend, to caution, to warn, to counsel, to exhort. And I want to encourage you again tonight what the scripture says, Psalm 141:5. Let's put that up on the screen. It says, let a righteous man strike me, it is kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. And so when you think about somebody loving you enough to maybe share something with you that might be hard to hear, we talked about the wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. They tell you what you want to hear instead of sometimes they need to tell you something that may be hard for you. It might feel like a wound, but those wounds from a friend can be trusted. I want to give you some other scripture that would encourage you with admonishment. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then another verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, that's easy for me to say. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It's just a given that those who are with you and are laboring over you, they are going to admonish you. You're to respect them because that's part of what they're called to do. And what I hope tonight is that I know in this room, some of you guys have been admonished poorly. Somebody did it in a way that was really hurtful. And they didn't do it the way that we're going to talk about tonight. And maybe what they shared with you might even have been true, but the way they did it, it got lost in translation because you were so hurt by the way they did it. And then some of you tonight might have some friends that you know that you probably need to share some things with them that maybe they don't see. It's kind of what the elephant in the room, or it's the 2% that when you get in the car, you talk to somebody else about them and you're unwilling to share it with them. And it's really, they're missing out. If we're not willing to do that, we're missing out on playing a role as a body of Christ, that we can help each other, exhort each other, even admonish each other and urge each other to live a life that glorifies Christ. And I talked a couple weeks ago about how people have done that in my life lots. And I can just tell you, the Lord has used the counsel of others, even when it was hard for me to hear, to really shape me and make me more like the Savior. And I am so thankful. And so what I hope is true for you tonight as we talk about this is that you might leave here tonight thinking, you know what, I think I have a better understanding of what it would look like to biblically admonish someone, because I believe it's a gift. So we're going to talk about three things tonight, three P's of packaging admonishment. Okay, because remember, we're not talking about where it's hard to receive that package. You saw Larry David, he was like trying to open that package. We want it to be where someone can receive it and can hear you and understand what you're trying to share with them. So the first P that I want you to think about is a posture of humility. You need to come in with a posture of humility. And you know, one of the ways you'll do that is before you're admonishing anyone, you will spend time just praying to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to love my brother or my sister, and I want to do it in a humble way because I know I have plenty of issues. We all know that, right? Let's look at Matthew 7 for just a minute. This is a passage that you're probably familiar with. Matthew 7 says this. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then listen to this, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You know what we've done with this verse in our culture? I think we've misused the scripture when we say, judge not lest you be judged. Hey, don't judge me. And judging that this is talking about here in the scripture is like sentencing somebody, you're condemning them, and you're, as a whole person, you're saying you are sentenced to that. But it doesn't mean that we don't challenge each other. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about our actions or our beliefs. We're called to admonish each other with those and to admonish each other to be more like Christ. Judging here is where you just go, you know what? You're no good. You're done. God's done with you. That's a condemning sentence. And if that's true, then we're all in trouble, right? Because we all have something in our eye. That's what the scripture says. What it says here is we have a log in our own eye. And I think about this telephone pole coming out of my own eye when I'm trying to remove the speck out of my brother's. And so this posture of humility is, hey, let me tell you some places that people have admonished me. You might say that. You might say, hey, you know where I need admonishment, and I've had it, and I need it from you, is this is an area that I really struggle in. Would you help me? Would you love me enough to share that with me? And so the idea here is that you want to challenge them not from a prideful, self-righteous place. It's not prideful and self-righteous. In fact, the idea here is that you would build a bridge and not a case. Do y'all hear that? You'd build a bridge toward them. You're not trying to get a case against them. You're trying to build a bridge because you really want to love them. When you do humility, a great definition of humility is to think of yourself less. And so if you really want to love somebody, I will tell you, admonishment is work. And when a brother loves me enough to come and say, hey, can I share something with you that I've seen? I know they're trying to love me, and I want to listen, and I want to sit before the Lord and listen to them and say, Lord, is there anything in this for me? Like we talked about 2 weeks ago, I want to sift through what the Lord would have for me. And I want to go ask others, brothers and sisters that I trust, hey, are you seeing this too? Because I don't want that to be true. If it's true, would you help me figure out how I can change with that? And obviously the way we change is we ask the Lord to change us. But sometimes he uses the body of Christ to expose those things. Hey, another thing to be careful about if you want to admonish someone is that you shouldn't be excited about it. You know what I mean? You're kind of excited. I can't wait to get over there and let them have it. Okay? That's not a good posture of humility. I can't wait to let them know what they're doing wrong. That would not be a loving way to admonish someone. You want to do it with great humility, and you want to be careful. If you're feeling excited about it, you might want to pump the brakes and ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me not to go over and make my case or show them where they're wrong, but would you help me to love them and say, hey, can I just confess this? This is what I think I'm seeing. And I'd wonder if you would take that before the Lord. See, there's also this idea when you admonish someone is kind of the sandwich idea, the sandwich technique, that you would love them, and I mean sincerely love them. Don't give them, you know, kind of fluffy comments like, hey, you're great, but and you're great, okay? What you would say is, man, I just want you to know I care about you. I know that you love the Lord. I've seen that, and here's an area that I just want to ask you about or I want to challenge you with. And then remind them at the end, the reason I'm doing this is because I know you want to be like Christ. We all do. We want to honor him with our lives. And so I'm willing to have the conversation with you. Here's a good rule of thumb. If it's a matter of opinion or wisdom that the scripture is not completely clear on, you should do it with great humility because you may be wrong. And you could say, hey, I may be wrong here, but as I see that this is a perception I have and I want to share that with you. And if it's a matter of sin or if it's a matter of truth where you know that the scripture speaks clearly to it, you ought to do it with great gentleness. Okay, Galatians 6:1 talks about if a brother is caught in sin, we should restore them gently. Y'all see the humility of that? I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to bring life to them. And if I'm stuck in sin and you come and tell me and you love me enough to go, hey, this is what I see happen. I want to call you on that because I don't think that's the Lord what you have for you. He has a better way for you. You would be loving me. You would be admonishing me you'd be urging me to turn from that sin, to repent and turn to Jesus. And that's a good thing. So would you do it from a posture of humility? The second P is another way to package this admonishment is to do what's called perception checking questions, okay? And these are great ones to write down for. You might say, hey, would you mind if I shared a couple of thoughts with you of things I think I'm seeing? That might be a good way. You're asking permission to speak in their lives. And what we talked about last week is if you're on the receiving end, you'd say, man, if you're trying to love me or help me see some things, man, I'd love for you to help me. And you ought to ask people to do that in your life. You could say something like, hey, I see this happen a lot with you. What's kind of going through your mind? What are you thinking when that happens? You know what happens when people ask me that? I go, you know what? I do get mad when that happens. And I don't even know why. I'm glad you're asking that question. You know what I think it is? And sometimes the Lord will kind of reveal that to you right there. But it takes some time to ask them questions, and you are trying to do these perception-checking questions. These aren't loaded questions, by the way. They aren't loaded questions that you know the answer to. Again, that idea of you're building a bridge, so you're trying to check in with them. There was a guy on my staff years ago, and we were called to the staff. Todd asked us to read this certain book. And then got together as a staff. This is when our staff was a lot smaller. And Todd was asking some people in the room. He said, hey, and he asked this guy on my team, he said, hey, what'd you learn from that chapter? And the guy on my staff said, I didn't read it. Okay, that didn't go over real well. Okay? And I remember I was gone at that time, and I came back, and I pulled that guy on my staff and said, hey, I'd love to talk to you about that. And I remember asking him, I just said, hey, what were you thinking when you were assigned that reading and you didn't do it? Because I wanted to understand where he was coming from. It was a probing question there. I wanted to understand it. And he said, you know what? It was like you were asking me to eat, and I just wasn't hungry. That's what he said. And I thought, okay, well, what I had perceived, what I thought might be true, because I was getting ready. I was like, man, I need to let this guy know what's up. He needs to obey the authority. But what I realized, it wasn't that he was apathetic or rebellious or that kind of thing. It was just he thought it was an option. And so as I slowed down enough, I said, hey, let me help you. Let me admonish you. And I didn't say that, but that's what I was doing. As I just said, hey, when you are now out of college and you have a job, and when somebody asks you to do something that's an authority over you, you should honor that authority. The scripture calls you to do that. and you should do it. And you should do your work wholeheartedly for the Lord rather than for men. You should do it to honor Christ. And so it was a great opportunity to understand and encourage him and spur him and help him. And you know what? I think it helped him. That guy was in town not too long ago, and I remember him telling me some other ways that I had admonished him and challenged. And I had encouraged him too. And he said, you know what? You told me some things about 8 years ago when I left, and I was there going, oh, that's not true. And he goes, you were right. Thank you for telling me that. And there were some things that I was challenging him with because I thought it was the most loving thing because I knew some things that I saw that I thought the Lord needed to reveal to him and work on him with. So it's a question that you need to ask. It helps you when you do that. It helps you gain perspective. It helps you learn where they need to be admonished. And then it keeps you from kind of laying into people and going, let me just tell you and, you know, making a case. Here's a proverb. Proverb 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Y'all hear that? Man, when we are foolish, we don't try to listen and understand and ask good questions to help somebody. If we're really trying to help them, we just kind of give them our opinion. And man, we can fall in love with our own observations. We can be quick to accuse rather than seeking to understand. Y'all ever done that when you're admonishing someone? You kind of lay into them, you go, wait a minute. I need to step back. I need to ask what I need to try to understand. Here's the analogy I'd give you. How many love to play golf? Anybody like to play golf? Okay, there's about three of us. Okay, so this is a bad analogy. The PGA Tour this weekend is the Masters is on, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch it. But when I watch golf, what you'll find is what they say in golf is you drive for show and you putt for dough. Okay, the guys who really make the money are the guys who are really great putters. And if you watch professional golfers, when they line up a putt, they look at it this way. They walk around the side here and they look at it. They go on the other side and they take another look at it. And then they go on their side. So they look at all angles of it. And it's amazing how much time you want to go, just putt the ball, okay? It's going to go in, hopefully. And they but what I want to use that analogy, there's a guy named, this guy's Camilo Villegas. And if you look, that is the way, he's a professional golfer, that is the way he lines up his putts. He's like Spider-Man. It's unbelievable. And I tried that before, and I couldn't get back up for weeks. My leg was permanently going. And so, but that, if you look at that, what I want you to remember is he's getting down at that angle. And this takes some work to get in that position. It takes some strength. It takes some time to do that. It takes courage because he's been made fun of like crazy on the PGA Tour. But he believes that's the best way for him to make the putt and for the ball to go in the hole. And what, he's good. Yes, thank you for asking. So what I would tell you is that I want you to think about that when you are asking questions of people, when you're trying to help them, when you're helping to admonish, you want to try to gain perspective and see it from all different angles and be willing to do the work to help them grow in their relationship with Christ. So I want you to remember that as you're thinking about doing these perception-checking questions. That's another way to package admonishment. The third thing is this. If you want to package admonishment in a way that people receive it, it's important that you pick the right place and the right time. Okay? Let me give you an example in the scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, I don't know if you all remember the story of David and Nathan. And Nathan's a prophet. He comes to David and he tells him the story. He's this guy that had these sheep. And there's one guy that was poor. There was a rich guy that had all these herds. And there was this poor guy who had one little lamb. And this guy came and a friend came to the rich guy. And he took the poor man's lamb and he killed it and he slaughtered it and he gave it to his friend. And David was so mad. And David said, who is this guy? We're going to, you know, come after him. And four times, he's going to pay four times that. And Nathan looked at him and he said, you're the man. And he was talking about him. And he was admonishing David because what David had done with Uriah is put him on the front lines and he had slept with his wife. He'd had Uriah killed. He committed adultery with his wife and then took his wife as his own. And the only thing I want you to learn from that I think there's a couple of things there, is quickly or pretty soon after, that time, this offense, Nathan loved David enough to come and call him out. Okay? So the timing, I don't know if you guys are like me. Sometimes when I know I need to encourage someone or spur someone, even admonish someone, I'll wait a long time. And I've had people tell me, I wish you'd have told me this 6 months ago. I didn't even realize I was doing that. I wish you'd have loved me enough to tell me back then, because I would have loved to have changed the way I was responding. I didn't even realize I was acting like that. And I want to honor Christ. So I've had people say that to me because I was unwilling. I didn't have the courage maybe to go and challenge them. So it's important that we pick the right time. And it's also the right place that he goes to him one-on-one. Matthew 18, that's the first place we start when we're challenging somebody. We go to a brother. And then if they don't listen, you can bring others that love Christ. So here's a few examples of wrong timing that I want you to make sure you take note of. One time, these are things that I've done, okay? When right, if somebody's admonishing you, okay, they're kind of challenging on some things, boy, your flesh is going to want to admonish them right back, right then. And I will tell you, most of the time, 99% of the time, that's a bad idea. Because they're trying to encourage you or spur you, or they're having enough courage to come and say, I think this is what I'm seeing. And if you go, well, what about you? You sure do that. You ever done that? I have. And you know what happens is then they all of a sudden they go, man, it's hard for me to want to share this. I really felt like I was doing this in a humble way, and I was asking questions, and now you're coming back at me. Another thing that could be the wrong time is you have limited time to do it. It's a quick deal. You got about 15 minutes. Hey, can I grab 15 minutes with you? And it's hard to have that posture of humility, hard to ask those questions that you need to, and you do it quickly, and you just want to get it out and get it over with. That's probably more about you than it is about them. So limited time for the meeting. And then the other one that I've gotten in trouble with many times is when I admonish in a reactive, in-the-moment way. I've done that with my kids many times. I've asked their forgiveness. Hey, Dad, just respond. I admonished you. I came after you. And I just didn't do it in a loving way. And so you might have that with a friend. You kind of lash out at them. Or they're doing something that's bothered you, and you've known about it for a long time. Then all of a sudden, you just let them have it. And there goes that posture of humility. There goes those questions. There goes the loving way to help someone. This admonishment thing has been a gift to me. I'm going to tell you, there's a guy named Blake Holmes that is a pastor here. Blake and I have done the Institute for the last 5 years together, and he has been a good admonishment guy in my life. And I'm going to give you one quick example and then how the Lord used that. Blake and I, sometimes I'll talk to Blake about my boys and I'll be sharing something. He'll go, you know, one time I was telling him some things that I was kind of frustrated with. And he said, hey, can I tell you something? He said, I think you're kind of hard on your son. I think you're a little bit overly critical. You have, and he said it in such a way, and I kind of stopped and I thought, Lord, is that true? I think that's true. And I was so thankful he said that. You know why I was thankful he told me that? Because the next time that I wanted to be harsh or I wanted to respond in anger or the next time I wanted to be really critical and take life from my son, I remembered those words. Those were life-giving words to me. And you know what they were to my son? Life-giving words to my son. And so I had a friend that loved me enough to say that. And I took that before the Lord and I said, I think that's true. And it's taught me how to love my son better. Same is true for Blake and I. When Blake and I, interestingly enough, we were admonishing a person in our institute, a student in our institute. We were talking to this guy, and I was watching Blake kind of admonish him, and I watched him get kind of energized and got a little bit more fired up than he normally would. And I remember at the end of that conversation, I just said, hey, man, I said, you seemed a little more amped up today. I said, is there anything going on with you? Is there? And he goes, man, I've kind of had a stressful day. And he goes, man, I don't want to do that. Will you help me? Will you help me next time you see that? Will you let me know when you see that in my life? Because I want to love people as I'm admonishing them. I want to say it in a way that they can receive it. I don't want to package it in a way that it repels them. And so Blake not only gives admonishment to me, but he'll also receive it. And you know what? I think we're helping each other. And I think the Lord wants to use others in your life to help you too. If you'll be someone that says, hey, I welcome that. I want you to love me enough to, if you see something, I'd love for you to share it humbly with me, and then I want to take it for the Lord, and I want to really consider, I want to make room for what you have for me. Can you imagine what a gift if we would be able to help each other in this way? If we saw admonishment as a gift and we sought to honor the Lord in the way we admonish, how that could help, how we could play this role of encouragement, spurring, loving each other, helping each other be more like Christ, it would be a great gift to each other. And I think it could start here, right in our group of gather. We could love each other enough to do that. And remember how we do it. Posture of humility, right? We ask good questions, and we pick the right place and the right time. I'm going to have Lindsay come up and just share a little bit about how admonishment has impacted her life.
Hey, y'all. I have been really encouraged these last two messages about this topic because I have gotten to see how God has used this gift of admonishment to be a tool to open my eyes to see the blind spots in me and really to transform me to be more like him. And I'll just be real honest with you guys. I was a bit of a mess these last 15 or so years of life, maybe even before then as well. But God has been faithful to put women and men in my life who were faithful as well to the role that he had given them to admonish me. They knew that I wanted to honor the Lord with my life, but when they saw things in me that didn't, they were courageous to come and to tell me. And I really have seen how the presentation of it, the packaging of it, as Bron was talking about, is really important. They didn't always do it perfectly, but honestly, I can't remember a time where they didn't do it well. They presented it in a way that was palatable and helpful for me to be able to understand it. And so if I could add another P, I would say make it palatable. Specifically, the Lord has given me three women in my community group that I have been walking with for 11 years. And he has really used them in major ways. They fear God more than they fear me. So what do I mean by that? Well, I did not historically, have not made it easy for people to admonish me. I did not create space for people to do that. I was very defensive and very prideful. And so they had to be courageous and they had to be long-suffering with me to help me to where I was able to see what they were trying to share with me that God had laid on their hearts. So I'll give you, there's many examples, but I'll give you one. Again, historically, my mode of operation was to be passive-aggressive. Y'all know what that is, right? You punish people when things don't go well, and you don't tell them why. So whenever I had unmet expectations or conflict, that was how I responded. But because they were faithful and shared that with me and walked with me as we tried to get to the root of what was causing that, God has used them to change me. And that is no longer how I respond in those situations, which is just amazing that he could change me in that way. And so I'm just incredibly grateful for them and really thankful for them and how they have just loved me, because I saw it as I wanted to be perfect. I wanted them to think I was perfect, but I knew I wasn't perfect, and I knew they knew I wasn't perfect, but I wanted them to think I was, and when they would come to me, it felt like it was defining who I was, and it also, I feared rejection, and so I thought, man, they're going to leave me, and they're not going to love me, and they're not going to be my friend, but that was the opposite of what they were, and I got to see them love me in spite of my sin, and so recently, God has been doing a ton of work on me in this area where I was challenged at the end of last year. You know how at the end of every year, you set goals and you start to think about, hey, how do I want to grow in the next year? Well, I was challenged to go to the people in my life and ask them, what are the areas in my life that you believe God wants to mature? I don't know about y'all, but that is a really scary question. It's a really vulnerable question, but I did it. And they were faithful to pray and then to come to me with some really specific things. And what was so awesome to see is how God is changing me, because my response was not defensiveness. It was, man, I didn't see that, but I do see that, and I hate it, and it grieves me that I would act that way, and I want to change. I want to honor God. Would you help me? And so they've gotten to walk with me and help me to see how we can allow the Lord to transform me in those areas. And so I've really been able to welcome admonishment, and it's almost my favorite gift now is like I want people to help sharpen me. And so I hope that God would do that for y'all as well, because what is true about that is not only are we a gift to those friends because we're making it easy for them to give us that admonishment, but we become a gift to others as we become more like Christ.
Well, I wanted you to hear from somebody, you know, that is practicing that. I know that that's true about Lindsay. I know as I've worked with her, she's asked me, she said, hey, if you see something, I want you to help me. And it's just a way to humbly trust that God uses others in our lives and that the Spirit of the Lord is in each of us. Those of us who have put our trust in Christ, believe that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. We have a relationship with him, and the Holy Spirit is in us. It is an opportunity for us to sharpen and challenge each other. I was thinking about this as I wrap up tonight. I hope that even if people don't admonish you perfectly, because no one's going to, you're not going to do it perfectly, but that you could sit back and say, Lord, even if it was hard to hear, Lord, what is true? I've had some of those moments where I thought, man, I don't love the way that person said it. But Lord, what's true? And then I went, I think they're right. And it helped me. And so I want to encourage you as you grow in your relationships with others to have that kind of a relationship. Certainly you want to encourage each other. Certainly you want to pray for each other. And admonishment's part of it too. We're just talking about one specific part in these last two times. I was thinking about the packaging when Larry David was trying to open that clamshell packaging again, and I thought about the contrast. What if he had gotten something from Apple? If he'd gotten a MacBook Pro. And Apple, what's amazing about them is they have paid as much attention to the packaging as they have to the product. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that right now, we have that picture. If you get on eBay, you could pay up to $20 to $30 for just the empty box. No, I wouldn't. But I would tell you, they're selling those online because they had guys, what they did with Apple, I read some more on this week, they would have a guy that all he did all day was open boxes, figure out taping, figure out what looked good, and he spent his whole day opening packages like that and figuring out the design for Apple products. So wouldn't it be great if we thought as much about the packaging when it comes to admonishment as we were prayerful, that we were humble, that we were courageous to go and share. We asked good questions. We picked the right place and the right time. And we allowed people to receive that from us because we got to play the role of the body of Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome if we saw admonishment not as the gift that nobody wants, but as an incredible gift that could be given to you from somebody else who loves Jesus. Let me pray. Father, thank you for just the way your word challenges us. I'm reminded of your word that says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You call us to do that. And I pray that we would love people enough. I just confess there have been many days that I just didn't want to deal with it. I was selfish in my own motives and didn't want to deal with the hard conversation, even though I knew it was the most loving thing. Would you help us to be people who are yielded to your Spirit, walking in it so that we might be a blessing to others in the way we encourage, the way we exhort, and even the way we admonish. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.